This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
You have, what's your center, the where you do your massage thing?
Essential Touch.
Yeah. Where is that located?
It's right here in the Montrose area, just a block from Waugh and West Dallas.
Waugh and West Dallas, Essential Touch. Again, it's been my pleasure to share some insights and wisdom with you. I hope you guys were motivated and inspired and educated as my intention is. And I hope you have a wonderful week, and we will be back with you in 2 weeks. So have a great evening.
Or imagery that may be offensive to some listeners. Discretion is advised. The Federal Communications Commission permits the broadcast of some profanity during hours deemed to be safe harbor when children are less likely to be listening. KPFT upholds a stricter policy permitting the broadcast of sensitive material only between the hours of midnight and 5 a.m. The FCC forbids the broadcast of some sexual discussions or other suggestive matters regardless of the hour. If you have any questions or concerns, please call the program director during business hours at 713-526-4000. This is KPFT Houston.
You are invited to attend the 2007 Yoga for Peace Conference being held at the Houston Garden Center Auditorium. The Yoga for Peace Conference is free and open to the public, with requested donations benefiting the local charity Casa de Esperanza, a house of hope for children. Yoga for Peace will be held on Saturday, October 20th from noon until 5 at the Houston Garden Center Auditorium, 1500 Herman Park Drive, next to the Museum of Science and across from Miller Outdoor Theater. Presenters at the Yoga for Peace Conference will introduce us to practical methods to reduce stress and to find our blissful nature. Visit with the presenters and exhibitors, find yoga and meditation resources, and come away with exciting auction items. Net proceeds going entirely to Casa de Esperanza. Again, the 2007 Yoga for Peace Conference is free, open to the public, and is on Saturday, October the 20th at the Houston Garden Center Auditorium, noon to 5. For more information, visit www.yogaforpeace.org. See you there.
Get into it. Get into it. Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, William Shakespeare, Nijinsky, Alexander the Great, Tchaikovsky,
doubt, divine comforter. Say it loud. Holly, Wolfgang, plenty handbag. Wendy Yardley, what a fan. To be the kind of guy who never really fits in and never keeps in time. So now I've started asking the question on my mind, what kind of self-respecting faggot am I? I moved to San Francisco. It seemed the place to be, but I'm not into disco. And bars intimidate me. My only can of Crisco is where it's supposed to be. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? Don't own a single record by Barbara, Bette, or Judy. Heard of Betty Davis, but never saw her movies. Guess I'm irresponsible. My duty, what kind of self-respecting faggot am I? I don't read magazines like GQ. My hair's too long, my clothes are out of style. And when the conversation turns to Broadway shows, all I can do is sit and smile. I don't brunch on Sundays, don't own a set of weights. I wouldn't dream of screwing till after several days. I know it's quite pathetic, I might as well be straight. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I? To play the game when you don't own a poster of Marilyn. I know it's hard to fathom. It's really quite a shame. What kind of self-respecting faggot am I?
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston. I'm tired. I can't do it that long.
Oh.
I need a weekend off.
No.
As far as you know, Jimmy would have to do something by the mic.
Yeah, exactly. I have to go back to engineering and everything. God. Okay.
As a friend of mine says,
yes.
Kiss the whitest part of my fat ass.
Man, we only have a 3-hour show. I mean, that's a lot of kissing.
And there's a lot of white and a lot of ass.
And we're off to a brilliant start.
Okay. Hello, Houston. Let's go back to that part.
Yeah. To the three people listening and the two prisoners. My name is Chris Arison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one.
If you haven't figured it out, this is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude.
Yes.
Gee, did we start with any attitude?
Actually, we started with music.
What was it? What kind of self-respecting fag am I?
That by Romanowski and Phillips.
Made in Germany. Hmm.
And that's Holly Johnston from Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, that's Holly Johnson.
Have you ever seen the version they couldn't play of that of their video?
No.
Relax?
No.
I'll have to find that that CD with that on it.
Yes.
Yeah, they made, you know, the version that you can play on MTV, if you were to play music videos on MTV.
That's an and the name of that song?
Radio Mix?
No.
Oh, Legendary Children.
All of them queer.
All of them queer. Okay.
It's kind of a little history lesson of famous gay people of the past. And, like I said, Romanowski and Phillips after that with What Kind of Self-Respecting Faggot Am I? And what about this, if they ever played music videos on MTV?
Well,
They used to.
A long time ago.
Yeah, I
remember. Galaxy Far, Far Away.
Back when the curly-haired guy was doing that.
No, I watch more music videos on Logo and BET than I do on MTV.
Tell me. I loved Click.
And I couldn't believe it. I've
new
actually,
Now, Next? Or?
Yeah. New. I've gotten hooked on,
Now that you have Logo.
I've got Logo. Watching the comedians.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I have issues with female comedians.
You
period.
Do.
It takes a certain female comedian for me to find funny.
Oh.
And lesbian comedians even more so.
Oh.
But I forgot her name. This one, she's an older one. I mean,
Kate Clinton.
Now I enjoyed her.
Okay.
I saw her 25th anniversary special.
Mm-hmm.
But they had this one, this series they're doing here called Wisecrack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And I forget the comedian's name. She said she's 56. She looks older.
Oh.
You know, very, oops. You know, she could play the matron in any women's prison film movie.
Ooh.
Kind of look to
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
And she comes out and very deadpan, just goes in the microphone, goes,
"Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me?"
And it's hilarious.
Well, we're talking Lily Tomlin.
No.
No, but yeah. She looks like a character that Lily Tomlin could play. If Lily Tomlin's kind of a church lady character that she used to play,
yeah,
got a little older, that would have, she looks kind of like her. So it's fun going through and watching this stuff. And
yes,
and seeing, you know, different parts of the community and uh-huh. the different comedians coming out there. Because I actually saw one that I saw here in Houston several years ago.
Yeah.
Vicki Shaw.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, like,
she's been through.
Yeah, I mean, she was here with the first time they did the coming out thing at the George R. Brown.
Ooh.
She was one of the comedians there. Yeah. Texan by birth, lesbian by grace.
There you go.
And then she thanked Grace.
I'll bet. Thank you, saving Grace. Okay. Speaking of music, as we were.
Oh, we were?
A while back. It's coming up to the fourth Monday of the month, which means J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage will be featured on Queer Voices, our sister show, heard every Monday night, 8 to 10 p.m. And J.D.'s segment will be on this Monday night at 9 p.m. And he is, this for his September show, he's doing another Songs I've Been Meaning to Play, with the last 15 minutes of part one being a tribute to my partner, Jeff, who died of cancer on August the 9th. My deep appreciation again to everyone who sent cards and emails. So, that is a segment you'll want to hear. JD's been going through some rough times, and I know he's just focused on queer music, so
yeah.
This will be really, really touching. So I'm looking forward to it. So that's this Monday night, 9 p.m. And other things going on in the neighborhood. ICOH, the Space City Empire, is doing breakfast at Mary's, of course, later on this morning at 10 p.m. Those of you who would like a little Bloody Mary before noon, stop by Mary's, have breakfast, and you can have one. And then next Friday, the 28th, at Tony's Corner Pocket at 8:30, Chris Cook is having a show. And the next night at EJ's at 9 p.m. is the Closet Ball with Ginger and Eva. Then we're getting into October. Of course, breakfast at Mary's on Sunday. And we'll talk about the other stuff later. The Eresis, the Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, is
Inc.
proud. Yes.
Inc.
is proud to present the Imperial Prince and Princess Royale Weekend, High School Memories. This has been going on since Friday night. And tonight they were in Galveston doing Senior Trip and Luau. And later on tonight, Sunday, September the 23rd, at the BRB is Prom. That's food at 6 p.m. and the show at 8 p.m. BRB is located at 2400 Brazos. Then, something else going on later today. Houston Women's Festival returns to the beautiful Jones Plaza downtown Houston on October 20th from noon to 10 p.m. with a fabulous day of music, shopping, vendors, and food. Some of the featured guests are Ruthie Foster is the headliner, Ginger Lee as guest MC, and an incredible lineup with artists like Susan Gibson, Trina Hamilton, Amy Spierce, and Houston's own Kelly Gray. I think we might be playing some Kelly Gray later on. This woman knows how to sing jazz. Ooh.
And advanced tickets will be available at the Professional Women's Happy Hour, which meets, well, forget that. Yeah. Just
how do you find an amateur woman?
An amateur. Amateur woman, I don't know. Anyway,
amateur woman unhappy hour, or is it, or, you know?
What I'm focusing on is that the 13th annual Houston Women's Festival is having a kickoff party, and that's happening today, September the 23rd, at Chances from 4 to 7 p.m. Come by for live music and a chance to win a Premier wireless gift basket and more free tickets to the festival.
Combine those a little bit before there. Yep. Premier Wireless. You're not getting a Premier
Wireless.
It's a company name.
Premier Wireless?
Yes.
Well, they had two spaces in between, so I didn't know what
that's
that
just meant. Bad typing.
Okay. Okay. So that. Something else going on. Later on today at Rich's is Trash Disco Party put on by the crew of Olympus. And that's happening from 4 to 7 p.m. And, of course, I might throw in there that they're also doing their Fade-a-do, October the 6th, which is, if you've not been to their Fade-a-do, it's happening at Winter Street Studios, 2101 Winter Street. And it is $25 at the door, but it includes a free cocktail and all the Cajun food you can eat. And it is good, and they've got lots of it.
You haven't lived till you've seen Jimmy eat Cajun food.
Ooh.
For hours.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you, I get my money's worth.
And mine.
Yeah.
He just finally...
I do that. Yes, I do that.
Because the only opportunity he gets to pinch a little tail and suck a little head.
There you go.
Maybe that's why I don't do so. Never mind.
Chris, you've got some stuff?
The Houston Pride Band presents Celebrating Diversity on Saturday, September 29th. At the Resurrection MCC, 2025 West 11th Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's a benefit for Assist Hers.
Yes.
7:30, doors open at 7. Tickets are $10 at the door. Also at the event, there will be several community organizations with tables giving you information about different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Judy's going to be there.
Yeah, GCAM's going to have a table. And is the Big Men's Club going to have one, too?
Supposedly.
Oh.
So, I've got to make up stuff to put in there.
That's it. Just make your brownies. That's all you need to do.
And taking alcoholic brownies to a church?
To the church.
Ooh.
Have you ever met some of the band members?
We take jello shots.
And this is something I wanted to promote because we do a lot of pagan stuff.
Hey, alcohol and the church go together well, after all. Three of my uncles are priests and two of them are alcoholics.
Yes.
There you go, see?
I'll make Jesus jello shots.
There you go.
I don't even want to know.
They really nail you.
Jesus.
There you go.
Only a drinker would know this.
Oh, you're good.
Thank you.
You're good, Merlin. You are good.
Little cross and for a little cherry.
Help me.
Just tell me about the pagan festival,
I mean, you remember, you're talking
pagan
about a person
festival?
Who just puts...
What? Pagans? What? Who
you didn't know about the pagan festival?
No, the only thing I've had on my mind was, oh, that.
Yes. Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that pagan festival.
Oh, that old thing.
Sometimes I make it, sometimes I don't.
So what are you doing for Pagan Pride?
When is it?
Next weekend.
Well, up and listen. Okay. It's on Saturday, September 29th, from noon to midnight. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll miss the Jesus
shots. I'm just double. We'll bring extras here.
Okay.
At the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nance Street.
Mm-hmm.
Good food, good vibe, great people. I'm sorry, great food, great vibe, great people. Mm. Admission profits to benefit the local animal welfare organization, HOPE, Homeless and Orphan Pets Endeavor. It's a $5 donation or animal welfare item is welcome for your admission. Music provided by Open Ritual, the Wartime Social.
A name you can't pronounce.
W-Y-R-D-G-R-L. Word Girl, I guess.
Word Girl.
Weird Girl.
Weird Girl. Ted Miller, drumming, and children's activities, and so much more. The primary purpose for Pagan Pride Day is the advancement of religion.
Yeah, weird.
And elimination of prejudice and discrimination based on religious beliefs. Via air, air represents education, fire, activism, water, charity, and earth. A charity, and earth is community. And
okay.
I think I screwed that up enough.
Okay.
You've been eating those brownies, haven't you?
Okay.
Sorry. I only had one
of the high-octane ones.
Okay.
I've almost forgotten about the pagan thing. I've been thinking about the Q-Fest thing. Because they're showing my film in it.
Yes, and they're showing my film in it.
When is that, Jimmy? When is your film?
That's happening tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Are we going?
At Angelica. No. It's pick up the mic. I have a cameo in it. You know, with
cameo.
Lucky.
Yeah.
Did you not watch the video?
Yeah.
Your name is on the screen.
Yeah. But you know, I'm just there for just.
You squeezed out J.D. Doyle.
A few seconds.
Ooh. J.C. squeezed out J.D.
Well, that's because they filmed here. They didn't film on Queer Voices.
Yeah, I know, because it was After Hours with Jimmy Carper. You can see Jimmy when he looked like 20 years younger.
I was there. I know what he looked like.
She remembers.
That was only a few years ago.
20.
Yeah, but you've aged several years in the past couple of years.
That's the advantage to knowing me.
Ever since you've been my co-executive producer, I've really aged.
Double time.
No, I was going to say it's when the time that you had a pickup in San Diego and he really screwed you on the inside.
Oh.
This one's going to haunt.
I see.
Wham.
Okay.
For those of you who want to go to the archives and figure out that answer.
Yes.
Wait a minute. 4 o'clock? They're showing more than 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
They're showing he's stuck at 11. At 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
on
my
a
God.
Sunday.
The nerve.
Sunday.
The nerve. Anyway, Niceties Productions, in conjunction with ICOH, proudly presents Miss Drag Houston, produced by Jim Crawford. So You Think You Can Drag. The contest will be held Saturday, October the 6th at EJ's Bar and Grill. Now, I know they have a bar. Oh, the grill's outside. 2517 Ralph Street. It's 8:30 to 11 in the main show bar. We are looking for our first Miss Houston Drag. All contestants must bring two songs.
It's no big deal to me. At my age, everything drags.
Now, this is like Miss Mint Julep, in that you buy this title because it depends on the amount of money that you bring in.
Yes, but knowing Jim Crawford like I do, it's not going to be a 7-hour marathon.
Oh, no. Each contestant will perform one number in the first set, not to exceed 3 minutes. The top five contestants who raise the most money will proceed to the final set. And in set two, the five finalists will perform their second number. And the finalists raising the most money in both sets will be crowned Miss Houston Drag.
The pyramid scheme.
This is a contest. The contest is a direct benefit for the Colt 45's AIDS Troubled Fund.
If it's a pyramid scheme, does that mean whoever comes in with walk like an Egyptian?
Of course. Of course, he misspelled Houston.
Okay.
How can you misspell Houston?
I think
Houston,
they tried
please?
To spell Natsuo.
Well, it's Houston, but he reversed the U and the S. So it's Hasutan.
Hasutan.
Yeah.
Hasutan.
Hasutan. He's in the middle of it.
All these oldie things that we keep playing this month, didn't we used to have something where that said, you know, we're all born stark naked, everything else is drag?
I remember something like that. The Imperial Princess Aurora Breyer presents All in the Family, a celebration of community on Saturday, October the 6th at 8:30 p.m. at the Undercurrent, 2409 Market in Galveston. This is benefiting Aresis through Coronation 24. And that I know their beneficiary is Legacy Community Health Services. And I have one more thing, but I'm going to...
I've got two things coming up in October that I want to start promoting a little bit here.
Go ahead.
The first annual Galveston Island Pride Festival is coming up October 26th through the 28th.
Ooh, it's going to be a bit chilly.
Friday, the kickoff party starts at the Pink Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, there's a street party at Sangerfest Park, 23rd and Strand. Then a costume party at the Undercurrent and Third Coast Beach Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, a beach party at the Third Coast Beach Bar.
Nice.
For more information, go to galvestongaypride.org. Special guest star at this event will be Pepper Maché.
Goodness.
Singing her massive number one Billboard hit, Dive Into the Pool, from Queer as Folk.
She's still living, huh?
Also featuring Eric.
Awesome question for Jimmy to ask.
Nice.
Well, Jimmy knows that phrase quite well because people ask that about him.
You know, to his face.
Are you still alive? Oh, and Josh Duffy is going to be there.
Josh Duffy will be there, and Eric Hyman.
No kidding.
Special appearances by DJ Special K, DJ Chris Allen, DJ Neil Fogo, and Paige Lewis and Virginia Inc. from Austin.
Ooh.
So galvestonpride.org.
That's fabulous.
On that. And, I mean, this is something that, you know, they've got a tremendous amount of big sponsors.
Yeah, they do.
Some national organizations there, and the city of Galveston is even helping put this little party on.
No
from
kidding.
What I've
Galveston's
heard.
Much more organized than Houston.
Yeah.
And has support.
That's not that hard to do.
Yeah. Bel Air is more organized than Houston.
Oops.
Yeah, they don't fight as much. Also, then, on October 21st, Bears on the Run will be taking place at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Mm.
This is music and comedy and performance. The tour is called Bear on the Run, showcases the talents of Babalu, a comedian from Los Angeles, Kendall, a songwriter, performance artist from New York, Matthew Temple, a folk singer-songwriter from Nashville, Nakia, a blues singer-songwriter, Elijah Black, a rock singer and songwriter, and Shannon Grady, a singer-songwriter. Along the ride, there will be some videographers who will capture the performances on that. You can, like I said, it's going to be over at Tony's Corner Pocket.
Is it now?
Yes. There's the artist there. We were supposed to have one of them come in here a couple months ago when he was in town, but it never happened.
Ooh.
Kendall was supposed to be in.
All kind of hunky looking.
Yeah, well, they're all bears.
Uh-oh, come in and see pictures.
Oh, good for
you. They all have clothes on. Don't work here.
Yeah.
Rush.
No. It's not like we were talking about Big Nug before and I had those kind of pictures.
Yeah.
But you can find more information on this and pre-order your tickets at bearsontherun.com. You can get your tickets there, and I know the Houston area Bears are working on promoting that. We'll see if we can get some more information about the show when they come out, when it gets a little closer.
Cool. Okay, so I do have one more thing I want to mention, and it's the poet and entertainer A.C. Coleman hosts the third of his jazz poetry and art evenings on Friday, September the 28th. 7 to 9 at Baring and James Art Gallery. Other local talents joining Coleman include Billy Simone, Lady Pariah, Austin James, Kevin Menendez, Margot Toombs, Kay McStay, Philip Always, Brent Sr., Poetic Rockstar, and Stalina Villarreal. There is no admission charge. Donations are welcome and benefit the community center. So that is at Baring and James Art Gallery.
Aaron's so sweet.
Yeah, he is. Okay.
Oh, I got to turn my mic on because you're going to the other room.
You're here.
Okay.
I'm here.
No, it's just
a minute. Oh, look, it's a Jimmy.
Yay.
Hi, Jimmy.
We have transgenders here tonight. I thought that they had forgotten.
Oh, they wouldn't do that.
No.
No.
Hey, no.
They showed up,
Hello.
Hello. How you doing?
Well, I'm a little beat right now, that's okay.
Yes, I'm talking
I'm
to
you know.
Judy Reeves.
Hello.
Chair of GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of GLBT History.
Inc.
Boo.
And we just had a great fundraiser tonight.
Yes, we did. That's why I'm so tired and so hoarse. Whatever. And don't get too close. I've been on the patio at Mary's for 5 hours.
I see.
But it was a great fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
We officially opened Eartha's Closet. And that was a lot of fun. And what was really fun is we had like 17 performers.
Oh, yeah.
And of the 17 performers, like 7 of them brought clothes for the closet. Now, that's kind of neat.
It's nice.
Yeah, and even shoes. Somebody brought some shoes.
Yeah.
And Eva Storm.
Eva Storm.
And Bob Bouton.
Bob.
I don't have that kind of strength anymore.
I know.
We're our MCs, and Poppy was our DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Turn on your little mic, honey.
Yeah,
I will. Your little whatevers. And we raised almost $700.
Yes.
Very exciting. We had a wonderful layout there, when people could see some of the historic items that we had as far as some of the clothing, and people could actually see a lot of the closet items.
Yes, we had Eartha's formal dress.
Yes, Eartha's empress dress.
Mm-hmm. We had a dress that belonged to Lady Victoria Lust.
Yes,
and
dress.
We had Jessica Wick's wedding dress.
Yes, from when she and Robin married in San Antonio.
Yes, now that's an interesting aspect, because there was a section of Texas a few years back that decided that when this question of same-sex marriage came up, they decided that they were going to go by DNA. For people to get married.
Big mistake.
Yeah. Because Jessica Wicks is a male to female transgender.
Mm-hmm.
So, she married a lesbian.
Robin. Who is now Robin Wicks.
But the thing of it is,
that was a very short window.
You don't change DNA, but Jessica is legally a female. Had the name change, you know, on the driver's license and everything. So, technically, we had a same-sex marriage right here in Texas.
Yes, they couldn't do it in Houston. They had to go to San Antonio to do it. And actually, this is almost like, if you're listening out there, Jesse and Robin, happy almost anniversary, because our anniversary was the 17th of September.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes. So, this is almost like...
That's fabulous. And that dress is beautiful.
Oh, the dress
beautiful.
I was like... Who was it? Someone came
gorgeous.
Up to us. How come I didn't get to wear that in your play at Theater Suburban with Jane?
Nobody wears that.
It's a museum piece. That's not a closet piece.
Yeah, that's not a closet piece. You don't get to. The closet is a place where people can go and borrow drag.
Yes. We have shoes, bags, hair, and we have a little makeup now, because in the suitcase that, oh, by the way, guys, if you see Miss Eva and she's out in the streets trying to perform and so on in her blue jeans and T-shirt, please tip her heavily, because she gave most of her wardrobe to me tonight for GCAM.
Yes, yes.
She gave us a suitcase full of clothes and some makeup.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. It's the first donation of makeup that we've received.
Yes, it is. And that's one thing we don't have.
And I do want to mention, there's, I don't know how many wigs that we have.
15. They're all in my living room, dining room, kitchen, and bedroom.
And
in your car.
They were all cleaned and restyled by Vanity.
By Vanity, yes. Who had her pageant.
She had her pageant this evening. Vanity has a great shop on
Yale.
Mm-hmm. Around the 1500 block.
Yes, between 1400 and 1600 block.
Okay.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful. Oh, God.
I just veg out. I do. I just go sit on the couch and inhale.
It's just a gorgeous place inside, and she has beautiful things.
And beautiful people.
And
it's really neat.
Just a really, really nice place to go. And even if, you know, even if you're a genetic woman.
Which I are.
And, you know, looking for jewelry or wigs or clothes or something, go there.
She's got fabulous stuff.
Yes.
She really does.
She does.
And she just kind of like you know, and Shakespeare
around. And she did all of that for free.
Yes, she did. She donated her services for that.
Yes.
And that was quite a substantial donation.
Yeah. So. When you consider styling a wig, well, usually we're on, what, $20-$30 or more?
$50-$75.
Oh, really?
Hello, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I said it's quite a substantial donation.
Yes, no kidding.
So. But that was very sweet of her.
That really was. That really
and she
was.
She says, just bring them back when you need to. And like, oh, girl.
And she must be worn out because she was kind of going to be here.
Yeah, she was going to try, but she could still be cleaning up. You know,
yeah.
Hers was a much larger affair than what we did. Ours was huge, though, for us.
And I was so impressed by the generosity of the people there.
That was scary. I had no idea. Y'all told me that figure, and it was like three times what I just figured.
You know, there weren't a lot of people, but the people who were there
cared about GCAM.
Really cared about GCAM.
And Eartha.
We had some original art of Eartha, that some local artists had done, mm-hmm. and we auctioned it off, and just about all of it was donated back.
I like one person bought three pieces and donated one back and kept the other two.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of neat.
I thought that was fabulous, yeah.
So,
and she kept, I really like the ones she kept.
She kept the ones you liked.
Yeah, I really like those.
Well, GCAM has theirs that we didn't auction that is, you know, mm-hmm. in the corner. And the nice lady who did all these pictures for us, she said, my one dream in life is always to have a picture hanging in a museum. Yours will do. I went, okay, this works. So it was great. It was fun.
Yes, and if you'd like to see some of that artwork,
it's already in the cabinet.
It's already in the GCAM display cabinet at Mary's, naturally, located at 1022 Westheimer.
Along with Ginger Sue Bob.
Ginger Sue Bob.
Ginger Sue Bob Bear.
Yes, this is a little bear, and it's really
reminiscence of the pile of debris,
mm-hmm.
Joel Eisenhower.
It's because it's got pieces of one of his dresses, mm-hmm. that he wore a lot, which is the dress that the bear has on, and it also has a crown pin,
mm-hmm.
that Ginger Vitus donated.
Yes,
and Ginger donated.
Ginger,
the bear.
Yeah, Ginger and Gilbert.
And Gilbert.
Gilbert, yes, Gilbert actually bought it at the Colt 45's auction. When they did their show,
yes.
A couple months back.
Yes, he did.
And
that's
they gave it
right.
to us.
That's right. That's right.
That.
I remember that now.
I knew that. Decorated bear for the Colt 45.
So it was just a fantastic, mm-hmm. evening. It just, all the way
it
around,
was
I was just,
it was just,
I was just
people
flabbergasted.
People were clamoring to help out,
yes.
to entertain, to whatever.
Yes.
Thank you, Chris, for the wonderful brownies.
Yes, and the After Hours crew.
And the ones that I could even eat.
After Hours crew were enjoying
finishing
the rest
them
of them off. Yeah.
And Ginger brought her balls.
Yes.
And her sweet and sour balls.
And everyone loves Ginger's balls.
Yes, I've heard that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And Orland brought, from ICOH, Ginger and Orland brought some roll-ups of some kind.
Oh, boy.
Fruit.
Yeah, those were
wonderful.
Those
spread.
Were ham and cream cheese,
yeah.
and herbs.
Hand rolled by His Majesty.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And Emperor rolled those.
And the Houston area bears opened the back bar for,
mm-hmm.
us so that everybody could eat, drink, and be merry out there at the bar. And they
and
donated their tips back.
Donated
to us.
The tips.
Yes, which was wonderful.
Yes, it was.
It was amazing. I could not believe he did that. It was like, okay.
Yeah, that's not why we did that. I mean,
and what's the gentleman's name from the Misfits?
Renee Cantu.
Renee Cantu and Jimmy,
mm-hmm.
were our flag bearers for the opening number.
Because Eartha's favorite patriotic song was Kate Smith singing God Bless America.
Yes, and
so
Eartha was a vet, so we had to cover, or Tony was a vet, so we had to cover that aspect.
So that's how we opened it with the American flag and the gay flag. And Renee was quick to tell me that.
Yes, education.
Yes, that the protocol, American flag is always
highest,
and then the other flags that you use, the gay flag, is at more at an angle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so.
you never dip the American flag, and there's only one other flag that can be at the same height as the U.S. flag.
Yeah.
The flag of Texas.
Oh, I did not know that.
Part of the, one of the little quirks they had when Texas gave up its sovereignty to become a part of the United States was it still has a recognition as a sovereign nation.
Yes, we
as
have
far
the
as its flags.
We have the
equality.
Option.
Exactly.
And we can split into five smaller states if we would like to.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of some people I'd like to live with. Never mind. if you want to see something really scary.
Yes.
Is we had a clothes rack with the closet stuff on it. We had three mannequins. We had shoes. We had bags. We had the pink wig.
Yes.
At that point. And
jewelry.
Jewelry on a, yes. And then we put 11 drag queens on the stage.
Yes.
To sing the closing song.
Oh, my.
And I was just kind of watching the stage bounce.
Just incredible.
It was scary. It was swaying and bouncing. And I was watching the clothes. The mannequin was going, bloom, bloom. Oh, please, God, don't all of you end up in the floor underneath the stage. But it was wonderful that we closed with We Are Family.
Yes.
Which
yes.
isn't really the name of that song, but that's okay. And it was just, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, who else we have? Oh, we have more thank yous. We have, uh-oh.
Here we go.
I forgot.
Tippy.
Oh, Tippy. Well, Tippy
closed.
Wonderful. Tippy
yeah.
closed the show
mm-hmm.
with a song, yes.
And, Belmont.
yes, Tippy Belmont. So, well, we had the Bears and the Colts and the ICOH.
It's just wonderful.
So many people.
Yeah, and the Misfits,
there.
You know.
And we had, actually, we had people who couldn't make the show or couldn't be in the show,
mm-hmm.
Like Baron was working
yes.
the front bar.
Yeah, Montana.
And he kept running back and helping us out
absolutely.
And actually brought a dress that he had
yes.
made for Eartha.
And made a substantial donation.
And they, yeah, well, that was from the bar. Mary's $100 donation to us.
That was great.
And Greg Davis.
Yeah.
Marsha Ming. Gil. Could not make it tonight because she had to be in Galveston. So early this afternoon, she brought by a couple of little dresses and a pair of shoes for us. It was wonderful.
That's
the closet's
great.
Twice as big as it was.
Good.
It was very exciting.
Good.
And it was, I will tell you right now, the first annual.
Yes.
Although, since GCAM's anniversary date is in October, we may move it to October next year just for the temperature. We'll get more people out there.
Yeah,
it was a little warm.
But having it at 6 o'clock in the evening, the sun had gone down, and by 7, there was a nice breeze.
And I have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
We started the show at 8 minutes after 6, and that was a technical problem that DJ Poppy was having.
Mm-hmm.
And we finished it at 8 minutes after 8. We had a two-hour show with 17 entertainers and gifts and auctions.
That's right.
What a deal.
It was.
It was packed.
It was great.
And Bob and Eva both want to come back next year.
Yes.
So, it was great.
Good.
Can I do a shameless PSA?
I hope you do.
Quick?
Yes.
Okay. Theater Suburbia did... oh, hello. That's wonderful. did a benefit performance this last Thursday night for... Legacy for ICOH, and that was a very nice success. But the show is also going to be running through October 13th, Fridays and Saturdays, and Sundays, starting not today or this Sunday, but starting next Sunday. And it's called Poetic License with Carl Williams, and they'll really need to come out. The audiences are loving it. It's a hilarious comedy. It's got five really fun people in it who are having a great time performing it. And curtain is at 8:30 on Fridays and Saturdays. It's at 3 o'clock on Sundays. You need to call for a reservation if you're coming on Sunday, 713. What is it? I can't remember the number. I just went totally blank. 682-3525. 713-682-3525 is the theater number. And we have a twofer special. If you call the theater and tell them that you heard about the show on KPFT After Hours, then you can get two tickets for the price of one, which is a really good deal.
Hold on.
Hi, darling.
Hello.
How are you? But you need to come see the play. It's a lot of fun. And Jimmy stayed awake through it and laughed. And there is a special picture of Jimmy on the stage, actually.
Yes. Surprisingly.
Yes. James is gracing my set. And the cast loves him. It's okay.
That's okay, because anybody who sees it will not recognize me.
I know. Took this out of his ginger. But that's okay. Thank you very much for letting me come in and just yammer on tonight.
You are so very welcome. We're always glad to have GCAM. And maybe we can make this a monthly thing.
It works for me.
Every fourth Monday. Would that work?
No, I'm busy on Monday. What are you doing
every
on Saturday?
Every fourth Saturday? Will that work?
I can do that. You're inviting me on to
I'm
to
still
Jack's
thinking
show?
About J.D. Doyle's segment.
I don't think Jack would appreciate you letting me come on his show every fourth Monday. J.D.
Probably
would
not.
Enjoy it even less. But thank you anyway.
You're welcome.
And Chris, again, thank you for the brownies here.
No problem.
Okay.
And we have transgender people waiting in the wings.
Well, we kind of overtalked them, but y'all overtalked me.
So I know. It's my fault. I always, this is a free-form show.
We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
But something I do want to talk about, and you can be part of this, is that, we do memorials here.
Oh, yes.
And here recently, quite unexpectedly, a member of ICOH died. Mm-hmm. Chris Salza, lover of Regina Dane, also known as Richard Bang.
Yeah.
He died of coronary failure mm-hmm. early in the week, and the funeral and all of that was Friday night.
Chris was not just known in the community as Regina's.
Oh, that's right. He had
following, and he really was very well known.
Certainly had his own identity, and even worked with the police department. Using his psychic abilities for some cases.
Yeah.
And he did tarot readings, and he was very spiritual.
Yes. And he and Richard just kind of fit together like a glove.
They sure did for 12 years.
12 years.
12 years. So for Chris, we'd like to play a little song. This is something that Buddy used to play because this is the month of September. This is anniversary month, and we're playing old music. And this is something that I first heard Buddy Johnston play. For one of our fallen, it's Joan Baez, Soldiers in Arms.
Aww.
Thank you.
Joan Baez?
Yes. For Chris Salsa. Rest in peace.
It's not when we play her.
That's just a beautiful, beautiful song.
Like I said, we used to play her every January when you weren't here.
Why?
We'd play it near her birthday.
Oh. You play Joan Baez for my birthday?
No, her birthday.
Oh! Because it's near mine.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Jimmy, you're not the only person who has a January birthday.
I think it's time to...
her birthday and my birthday are the same day.
Oh, I get it now.
And I sure as hell ain't going to play Crystal Gayle.
What? Why not?
Why not? She doesn't look like she's aged a day in 30 years.
Well, it's all that hair.
Yeah.
It's the Aquanet, you know.
It must be.
It preserved just further down.
I think we've got some opening music for the transgender segment.
But I have to... let people know something beforehand.
What?
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yeah.
That way I don't have to interrupt them then when we get started.
Gotcha. Then they just can go, and they're going to go until they're finished.
Sounds hot.
It does sound hot, doesn't it?
And now the opening theme.
You are listening to T-Talk Radio Show, Transgendered Issues, here on KPFT. This is usually the M&M Show, and my partner in crime, Melanie, is not here this evening. So we've got a house full of guys and gals in here with us, and I'm going to introduce them now, starting off with Vashante. Say hello, Vashante.
Hello, how are you?
And we also have Evie. You remember Evie. Say hi, Evie.
Hi.
She was actually the one who wrote and composed the opening to the show, and she was on the show last time. We had some of her music we were featuring, so she's here in the show helping us out and giving us her opinions and expressions. And we also have with us good old boy. His name is Alex, and he is a virgin. This is his first time on a radio show, so he's going to be giving us his opinions, viewpoints, talking, saying what's up. Say up, what's up, Alex?
We're well known. Yeah, we're well known for our deflowering here.
Ah. So what do you think so far, Alex?
About what?
About the radio station.
Well, I mean, it's my first time, but so far it's pretty cool, I guess.
Wow.
It's different hearing yourself.
Yeah, it's different. Well, we actually just got back from the Miss Transgendered Houston pageant, we now have a Miss Transgender Houston. It was the first annual pageant. And with Shanti and I entertained in that. So hopefully she's going to be stopping by the station later on and giving us an interview. I was talking to Vanity. She is someone who's really involved with the transgender community. And we had talked to her about possibly getting her over here. So hopefully that'll be coming later on. Right now we're going to go to some news. And it's the transgender news segment that we have. And we were looking on TransHouston.com to see what was going on in the trans world as far as news, and we actually have an interesting Salt Lake City Tribune. There is a judge that upheld the firing of a transsexual bus driver. Apparently this young lady was transitioning. Well, she actually wasn't a young lady. She was 40 years old. But she started the transition and she got fired. Can you believe that?
What's wrong?
Yeah. So they upheld the firing of her and said that it wasn't actually something that was she tried to sue on based on discrimination of sex, and they said no, I don't think so. Which, you know, I personally have always thought that that's something that would be an issue, you know, based on sex and changing your sex. I would think that that would be discrimination. What do you guys think about that?
As far as, like, the, like, discrimination against the sex, I don't know if that's something that you'd probably classify that under. I think, like, I couldn't really tell you exactly probably what you classify that under, because the state law, it really, or any of the state laws about harassment or anything that has to do with, like, being discriminated against, most of them don't exactly focus in on, like, sexual orientation or anything that has to do with being transgender. A lot of them have to do with either, you know, sex or race or age or something along those lines. So maybe going about it as being trying to sue as far as for harassment or being discriminated against on sex, she probably could have gone about it some other way and might have gotten it instead of having to go about it with doing to deal with sex.
Interesting. How do you feel about that, Vishante and Evie? What's your opinion?
I don't really understand what the question was.
Well, basically this transsexual was fired. And she sued on the grounds that the definition of sex, she was discriminated against based on her sex. And she was trying to basically push the envelope, if you will, because she was fired for transitioning and becoming a woman. And federal law says that you cannot be discriminated against based on your gender, male or female. Especially
and so
in employment.
She's trying to sue them, or?
Well, she did try and sue them, and they upheld and said no. They said that she is not protected under the law for being a transsexual. That is not what the law was intended to protect her against. And basically, transgender people don't have any protection.
Well, in my opinion, I think the law is very fickle, so, you know, they pretty much make their own decisions.
Yeah, that's probably about the best way to say it, especially here in Texas.
Has anyone heard about INDA, the discrimination that is before Congress right now? Anyone here?
No.
And I don't know, Merlin, have you heard about it?
I've heard about it. It's been a good while. I mean, they've been fighting that fight for a long time. But at the heart of it, as far as gender is concerned, I mean, it would seem to me, you know, it would be the ultimate sort of fight about gender. I mean, when you feel you are one and you're becoming the one that you feel you are, that you know you are on the inside, I mean, to me, that should
whatever the word says. I mean, it says, you know, not discriminating against ethnicities, gender, you know, et cetera,
right,
and so on.
Religion.
So to me, you know, and I mean,
well, the problem with ENDA, that the Employment Non-Discrimination Act that has been proposed, is the original versions, when the HRC put them forward, mm-hmm, they left out the T.
Yes.
Yeah. And because basically they figured, let's go with what most
LGBT
people can palate, which is gay and lesbian. They even had, I think the first ones came out didn't even have bisexuals.
Really?
And eventually enough people said, you know, we need to go together as a united front. Let's, you know, present it. And finally, the newer versions do include, I believe the phrase they use is gender identity. It's how they qualify sexual orientation or gender identity, rather than saying gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered in that. But it has that. It's an uphill fight going through
the legislature.
Through the legislature, and you know, especially when you're the, I believe it's Senator Kennedy who is the one who's really pushing that act, and you know, with his reputation on being very liberal, it's harder to sell to some of the conservatives.
Well, it's pretty interesting, and the postings that I've seen in the news, I've seen a lot of negative stuff, obviously, from the conservative people. They had talked, and there's a lovely young lady who sends me all these posts about the going on in the transgender community, but they said that they were trying to force a alternative lifestyle, and their perversion, they said that transsexuals in general were perverts on the community.
But aren't we all perverts?
Well, you know,
I am not a pervert.
That was a conservative viewpoint. Of course they have their viewpoint, but I think that it's something that is going to come out hopefully positive in the end. You know, they've changed it, they've worded it, and it seems to be like it's going in a positive direction with that. I would urge everybody to contact their legislature, you know, and let them know what they think about that. I know I personally have, and told them that I support it. That's all you can really do.
So how could she win?
How could she win?
How could she win? That's the question.
Based on sex?
Well, how could she win? Based on whatever she needs to base it on.
Well, now, since none of the laws have, been passed, they're still just in circulation, it's probably going to be a lot harder to find a loophole to get around it. Because technically, where was she from?
She was from Salt Lake City.
Oh, well, I was going to say, in the state of Texas, I know to find a loophole that would consider something that would possibly even give us a chance of winning something in court like that would be extremely hard. You'd have to know exactly where to look. But I do know that there are some jobs that have just recently passed the non-discrimination against the transgenders. Like, both of the jobs that I work, in the book, the handbook, it specifically says gender identity.
Cool.
So I was really surprised about that when I saw that. It was kind of exciting.
Yeah, but one of the problems you do have with that is you're talking about company policy. Mm-hmm. And company policy can be changed as quickly as they want. So even though it says it, it doesn't give you the kind of protection you have of being able to enforce it in a court of law. Let's see, here's a thing here of public and private sector. States that have protection for sexual orientation and gender identity in employment, California, Oregon, Washington, New Mexico, Colorado, Minneapolis, Iowa, Illinois, Maine, Vermont, District of Columbia, New Jersey, Connecticut, Rhode Island.
Of course not Texas.
No.
No, ta-da! Not Texas.
Good old Texas.
I'm trying to go back to U.S. Wow. geography. They don't have any state names on these maps here. I'm trying to remember states. But those are the ones, those are public and private sector, have, there's laws in the private and public sector that protects both sexual orientation and gender identity.
Well,
Kansas, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Indiana have it in the public sector only. You can still discriminate in
don't advertise
Indiana. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, I just think that it's something that shows the need for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. And it's something that we really need to have in place because, obviously, that lady got fired for transition. I mean, that way it would be a blanket policy that's enforced all over.
They don't have to, like, give a reason for firing her. Yeah. They just said you're fired.
Yeah.
It just happened to
but
be.
They fired her for transitioning specifically, so they were... that's the ground I think that they were going for when they were trying to, like, sue based on sex discrimination, because they said you're a woman now, so you can't work here.
They give, like... They just be like, okay, well, you're not going to work, and we're going to pay for your transition, and then you come back to work for us. That's my solution.
Well, she started transitioning on the job, so the phone number here is 713-526-5738. If you're listening and you have any thoughts on this subject, give us a call and let us know. We're talking about transgender news in the community and around the world, and we are going to move on now to good old Australia. Actually, Australia has a lot of news. Last month we were talking about the lady who was going to Thailand to get her sex changed. There's no updates on that. She had applied to the ministry to have her gender changed on her passport, and I haven't seen anything updated on that, but we have a post-operative transsexual who has been told by Australian authorities that she has to divorce her wife to be registered officially as a female after her sex change. And basically, Australia does not recognize same-sex marriages. The lady had a sex change in 2002, and her wife wants to stay with her and everything, and she is being denied changing her gender officially. So that's something that's going on. Don't you just love Australia?
It's so straight.
Yeah. That's great.
Solution.
And actually, Australia doesn't even have any civil partnership laws available either, which is kind of crazy.
Kind of like Texas.
Yeah, pretty much.
Diversity seems to be key right now. Needs to be a little more of that.
Well, they're trying to take it to court right now, but they said that the registrar of births, deaths, and marriages in the state of Victoria, where she had filed to have her sex changed on her birth certificate, rejected it and said that they are not going to uphold it because they don't allow same-sex marriages. What do y'all think about that? Any thoughts?
Give the wife sex change.
Give the wife a sex change?
And then they can stay married, right?
Wow. I guess that's true, but she's not a man.
Yeah,
she can just live as a woman. She'll live as a...
A what?
Yeah.
A what?
She'll live as What's a as a MTF, but she's like a F.
Okay.
She's confusing herself.
Yeah, you just lost me on that one.
All right. Moving on. Our transgendered artist, musical artist for this week is Veronica Claus. She seems to be really popular. We were talking earlier, and the young lady is actually based out of San Francisco. She is now, I've been informed, no longer releasing albums, but the album we have this evening is called All I Want, and she has some really cool tracks on here. We're going to be listening to this song called Dirty Little Secret, and even though she is no longer producing albums, she is doing a cabaret show in San Francisco, so if you're ever out there, I don't know if you could Google her. Do you know where she's at?
That's where I found her last time. I'll look it up here for you while we're playing the song. So we'll get it in
French. All right. So we'll have that when we get back. And if anybody's out there listening, the number is 713-526-5738. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. If you have any comments, suggestions, just want to say hi, give us a call. This is Veronica Claus with Dirty Little Secret.
Never gonna see the light. I'm your dirty
All right, we are back. That was Veronica Claus with Dirty Little Secret.
Mm-hmm. That is a great, great album.
Don't you love that?
Yes, I do. I've been playing it for years now.
Since I picked it up in San Fran.
I wish she would come out with another one.
Well, I went to her website.
Yes?
VeronicaKlaus.com. K-L-A-U-S. Nothing current listed, unfortunately. She had a show she performed with the Boom Boom with her Boom Boom Boys and special guest Joshua Klipp.
Oh, no kidding!
August.
We played Joshua Klipp. Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had him queued up earlier.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Another transgendered artist.
Really?
Yes.
Female to male.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe we could play him later on.
Yes. He's really good.
So no information on stuff coming up there. Even her play that she had of Family Jewels.
Mm-hmm.
it's apparently over.
Oh, my goodness.
Like I said, you can go to her website, veronicaklaus.com.
Mm-hmm. And do it.
And find out what's going on with her.
Yeah.
We got some more of her music coming up later on, and hopefully maybe something else, too.
Good.
I didn't know. Was it Chris? What was the artist's name?
Joshua Klipp.
Joshua Klipp.
K-L-I-P-P. K-L-I-P-P. Well, we are going to be talking about a couple different things, but the next thing that we're really going to be talking about is the 2020 show and Barbara Walters. A few months back, she hosted a one-hour special spotlighting what it's like to be young and transgendered. And she actually featured three children, ages 6, 10, and 16. And she also had interviews with a parent. And I remember watching that special, and me and Alex were just talking about it. He said that he had his parents watch it too, and it was a really, really powerful, moving special. So that is the topic, and we're going to go. What were you saying earlier, Alex?
Like she said, I made my parents watch it. We sat down together as a family, and it was. They're, I guess you could say they're kind of typical Texans.
Typical Texans?
They,
define typical Texans.
They're set in their ways. I'll put it that way. They're set in their own ways, so it's kind of. It's kind of hard to press them to understand a newer generation's way of thinking, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because back when my parents were kids, even just being out as being gay was extremely hard to deal with. And so to have them watch that and to sit down and us talk about it, it's definitely kind of made things, I guess, a little bit better in their understanding, but at the same time, they still didn't understand because they said that I really didn't have, like, the typical traits of all those kids that they had, that those kids had, as, you know, since they were, like, 6 years old and stuff, but I knew then, and so did my sisters. Even my sisters agreed on it when we were talking about it. I guess I just really didn't do it in front of them because they, you know, they're your parents. You want to do them when you're that young. You want to make them happy, and you want to do whatever you can to make them happy. So you just kind of go with the flow until you get to the point where you just say, where you're at the age where you know you just can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
So.
And how would you identify yourself, Alex?
I consider myself a straight male. I love girls. I've always loved girls. And I have a girlfriend. She's we've been dating for 4 months, and I'm very happy. I really am. I go out. She lets me go out. She knows how I am. You know, I like to go out and party, but I like spending time with her, and I, she actually, from the relationships that she went from being a straight lesbian to going into a straight relationship, I think hasn't been the easiest, but it definitely is not the hardest. So, but I really appreciate the support that she gives me on that. It really kind of helps out with everything, and so. Because, you know, day-to-day is not the easiest thing to go about being when you're being trans. And when you have all the support that you can get, always helps. And so...
So, and how old were you when you started transitioning?
I have been on testosterone now for 180 days, so about 6 months. And I'm planning on, if I get everything going the way I want and get the money coming in the way that I want, I want to have my top surgery by the time I'm 21, and hopefully before then I'm going to be using a local attorney, Phyllis Fry, to get my name and sex changed before then.
Cool.
So, hopefully.
And you're how old?
I am 19. I will be 20 October 31st.
All right.
Halloween.
So,
happy birthday.
So, you're 19, you started transitioning a little over 4 months ago?
No, actually, it's 6 months ago.
6 months ago, okay.
So, I've been out probably for about 8.5, 9 months, a little bit longer with friends, because friends take it a lot better than parents and
yes,
family.
Oh yes.
So.
And how about the other hosts here, Evie? What about you? Did you see the special, the 2020 special?
I watched some of it. I don't know. What I was going to say was I actually turned it off because I couldn't watch it. I was like, ugh.
And why is that?
Because I was like, I don't know. It's so weird. It's like, yeah, you have it really bad because you're so young. But, like, I went through all that, you know, and it's, like, it's weird because, like, you know, this as time is moving on, it's, like, not necessarily a problem. And so it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So you got to feel bad for the people who had to go through all the junk before you get to go through.
But see, like, stuff. I think the best part about coming out when the way, at the age Jazz and the other girl did, is that when you're, you know, that young...
And there's Jeremy right there.
Yeah, when you're that young, your peers, like at the age of 6, you know, your peers really don't pay attention to what sex you are. It's more of along the lines, like, you know, Barbie dolls and Power Rangers or Ninja Turtles, something along that. It doesn't really consist of, you know, what gender you are. And as I guess... parents-wise, maybe it's a little bit harder if your kid's that young, because you think that, oh yeah, you know, they don't know what they want, they're not old enough to know, but...
Stage.
Yeah, that is just a stage. My mom's been saying that for years.
Oh God. I heard that. I transitioned when I was 15 years old, and everybody, I went to a gay youth center, they were like, oh, don't do anything drastic, because you're going to change your mind, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I know what to be a girl. Pretty sure.
Yeah, that's how it was when my mom pretty much found out about everything that was going on. She was like, it's just a stage. You'll get over it. And, you know, 6-7 months down the road, I'm still in the middle of a transition. And I haven't gotten over it. I've been feeling like this since I was, you know, Jazz's age, 6 or 7. Real young.
Yeah.
Do you live at home?
Actually, I lived at home until 3 months ago. I just moved out. So I'm kind of excited about that. I'm still on the new turf of being you know, out and about.
Yay. Single guy. Do you got the bachelor pad?
Single. I told you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, you're going to get me in trouble. You really are.
If Alex is
no, because it is, it's a little bit easier if you're not living at home when you're coming out. Because then you can leave and give them time to think about everything.
Yeah, it really has. It's been a lot easier the last 3 months because, oh my gosh, just like all the stuff that I had to deal with there, and I kind of hoped moving out would make our relationship a lot better, and actually it really has, and for my parents to come to the Miss Trans Houston tonight was a big step for them. They have never been around anything like that, and I do applaud them, and I thank that, I thank them. Even my sister came, which she's been a little bit more supportive, both of my sisters have. Then my parents have, you know, I'm their kid, I'm their baby, so it's gonna be a little bit harder for them. But for them to come tonight was a big step, and I do applaud them on that. And they stayed. They watched it wasn't my first time to do drag, but it was their first time to see me. They stayed and watched that, and just to get the feedback from them saying that I did a good job just kind of like hit the right spot.
Yeah.
So it's a lot better now that I've moved out. I think our relationship's going to improve a lot more.
Well, and I think even like with the parents on the 2020 special, and like you're saying, your parents, it's an adjustment period. And you know, it's really difficult because, you know, once we're born, we're assigned gender, starting out with, oh, it's a boy or it's a girl, blue, pink, blah, blah, blah. And I think our parents have this expectation. They see us, you know, my parents saw me walking down the aisle in a tuxedo. You know, they just automatically have those expectations. And then they have to realize that we're adults and we're going to do our own thing and be our own people. So that's good though. Yeah, I met your parents. I think I stepped on your sister's foot. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you so.
Yes. Well, I apologized to her, and but they were really, really nice.
I think given the time, they'll get it further along. They're still in the habit of calling me by she, and it gets to the point where it's really annoying because I listen to everybody else and they call me by, you know, my gender and everything, and then I hear them talk about it and I kind of don't want to answer them just to ignore them, thinking maybe they'll change if I ignore them, but I think it would only make the problem worse. And I've tried talking to them, but I think it's just going to have to come in their own time. Like I said, they're stuck in their own ways, and for them to take the step out tonight just was, you know, a huge, like, going from, like, 5 to like 105 in just one night was really hard.
Well, and they saw your show and they saw everybody else and they saw that we're pretty normal people and
about as normal as anybody can get.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good thing. They had a lot of different talents and it was a good show. So,
well, it's their own coming out process.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it probably took you years to realize you were transgendered and what you wanted to do, and it's going to take them at least that long to get used to the idea.
Yeah, it did. It took me a while to not so much get used to, like, to realize what I was, because I've been talking about that since I was, like, in the seventh grade, like, being trans and everything, but coming to terms was more the difficult part, was, you know, because you go back and forth, well, am I? Or, you know, no, I can't be. Oh, yeah. Could I be? Possibly. No, I can't be. And so just kind of going back and forth for a while is the hardest part, I guess, for them, for me, anyway, it was.
Plus, in this society, it's more acceptable for a girl to be a tomboy than it is for a boy to be effeminate.
That is very true. I've always been a tomboy, so that should have been my parents' first clue. When I didn't grow out of it, you know, being 14 years old and still beating up the boys. That should have told them something.
And that was without testosterone.
Yeah, and that was before, you know, that even came into the picture. I still, you know, I had all the boys scared of me, and then, you know, It was kind of weird going through high school like that and having all the guys that, you know, were 10 times my size being, like, you know, on the opposite side of the hallway when they walked past me. But I liked it like that. People didn't mess.
Real badass.
I was. People didn't mess with me, so it was good. I didn't really have a problem. I was really popular in high school, though.
That works in your favor.
It did. Surprisingly, everybody was scared of me. I was really popular, so I'm not complaining about that.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at these pictures on this website of the folks that were on that 2020 special. They got Jeremy. He was a 16-year-old. He's a female-to-male guy. And it says that he, like, is saving up money for his top surgery and stuff. They've got a picture of him holding his hair after he cut off his hair. And they've got a picture of Jazz, too. She's the six-year-old, and I know you had talked about knowing when you were really young, and I personally knew when I was 5 years old. You know, I remember specifically wanting to be a girl, and when I played house, I was always the Y. I mean, that was just, it was very basic that I knew. And I thought it was really cool that her parents were so supportive. They were just worried about making sure that their daughter was happy and healthy and protecting her from all the craziness around her. And I really thought it was amazing. And I applaud Barbara for putting that on the air and actually, you know, going that step and educating people about the whole phenomenon and the issues that we face, you know. And I personally think that it's great that the world is becoming a better place and that parents actually can allow their kids to, you know, be who they are. And, you know, I was always called Sissy. My dad, oh God, he was always trying to butch me up. And, you know, that obviously we know failed. Here I am with a wig on my head, and I'm taking my lashes off, but
covered in glitter.
Covered in
that
glitter.
Is glitter.
I don't know. What
chest did I form?
Yeah, double D's. Vashante, did you see the 2020 special?
No, I didn't see it, but I've always been a rebel. I have a single parent, so she really didn't have much control over me. I kind of just, like, took off to New York and spent a couple weeks there and went to L.A. and came back and realized that there was a little more to being a girl than just being a girl. It was becoming a girl, and so slowly but surely I'm getting there. But at a young age, I learned a lot, and I'm glad that I did. I'm glad I experienced then and not now, because I'm 30, so I'm in a comfortable space.
Cool.
But I do hope that the youth that's out there right now has, you know, the kind of input that I had from my parents, because not all of the experiences are negative. There are also positive experiences. So, it's a good thing.
All right. We have a question that's been posed to us. It says, do you consider surgery date as a new birthday for you, or the date of the decision as a new birthday? Interesting.
That is an interesting question.
What surgeries are we talking about here?
Surgery, like...
SRS.
I mean, I know I've had the orchiectomy. Chemically, I have changed myself to a woman. I personally am getting ready to go to college. Don't know if I'm ever... I want to go to law school. But I don't think that I, as a hairdresser, would ever be able to afford at this point the whole surgery. I can live happily as I am now. And I remember, actually, after my surgery, waking up and just feeling different. I'm very in tune with my body. And I had my surgery when I was 25. I was like, I just want to stop this. So I guess I would say both would be for me. I mean, it's just that was the finalizing of it for me. But the decision to live as a girl was really my new birthday. Mm-hmm. And I think that was, you know, I remember as soon as I dressed up as a girl, my friend put me in drag. I had shaved head on the sides and my hair was long on top. And I was like, you know what? I saw myself in the mirror. I was like, damn, I am cute. And I was like, I am going to... I threw all my boy clothes out and started getting girl clothes. And it was wild from that point on out.
And then you start to notice that the society didn't know, and it's a little more exciting because you know that they're like accepting. Like, nobody knew about me when I was young, so I was hanging out at fraternities and couldn't believe that nobody knew that I was what I was. But
well, would you consider that as your birthday when you started living as a girl?
Yeah, it was actually Halloween, and imagine that. And I saw myself in the mirror
like several other people, and I said that's it. And it continued the day after Halloween, and the next day, and the next day. And so, yeah.
It's a magical day, that is.
It's just something that when it happens, you know.
What about our other folks, Evie?
When is my birthday?
Is it surgery day or the day that she started living in your chosen gender?
My chosen gender. Well, that is definitely a birthday of the person that I am now, which is like an inverse of the person I was. I guess there probably could be some sort of other birthday. It'd be like, you know, adult birthday. As opposed to birth of a new person.
Birth of a new person.
I also see it as like everybody's living like their own legacy, and I think even from the beginning until now and into your future, it all is what is building and shaping who you are. So the lessons that you learn when you're younger, they stick with you if you're smart, and recognize them so that you can get proper information educated on how to progress. So,
Alex? I guess that's my cue.
I'm giving you the look.
Honestly, considering the fact of how what I've felt since I was so young, I don't think I would choose a different birthday, because I've always known who I was. And to me, that surgery and, you know, hormones and all that stuff doesn't really change that. As long as you know who you are, why do you need a different birthday? But if I guess I had to choose between the two questions, it would probably be the day that I first did my first injection. Because that just, I don't know, I kind of felt like Superman after I did it. So, yeah, I was definitely like all pumped up to go, and I did it first thing that morning right before I went to school, and that just kind of like, that gave me like the head start for the whole week, and it, you know, couldn't shut me up about, you know, how excited I was about it. It just, I guess I'd have to choose the day that I did that if I had to change my birthday. But I kind of like it the way I look at it. Is, you know, I've always known who I was, and I don't feel that, you know, getting surgery, even though I know that's what's going to make me happy, like, to feel comfortable as totally as who I am. But I always known who I was, so I don't feel that I have to change my birthday with surgery and all that stuff.
Well, and two, you know, I don't even remember those days. It's just, I know that I remember the feelings that went along with those. And I was like, I feel so comfortable in my skin. I remember how, when I had my surgery, it was changed. The actual day doesn't really mean anything to me. It's just the fact that I'm comfortable in living with myself. And
I remember the day only because, like, I'm waiting for that 365, you know, the year mark, April 23rd. So that was, like, I marked it down on my calendar. I'm like, all right, you know, April 23rd of next year, it will be 1 year. And, you know, that just to me, I guess, is my significance, because that by then, you know, most of my physical changes have already been done. And I started passing probably about 4 months in when my voice started dropping. So that was a big step. But when it hits that year mark, I'll know that, you know, I've kind of made that goal to where I'm going to make myself happy.
Over the hump.
Yeah, I'm over that first hump.
Yes,
so
yes.
Yeah, the next couple of years, and, you know, from then on, after I get my surgeries and stuff, it just is going to be the, I guess, to the next home.
The icing on the cake.
Yeah, it just, you know, I want my cake and I eat it too.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to go to another song here in a few moments, but I just wanted to remind everybody that the Joseph Hines Clinic is now offering transgendered health care on a sliding scale fee. There hasn't been a clinic that has offered transgendered health care, and I believe it's on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Isn't that right, Vishante?
Yes.
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
After 4 o'clock.
After 4 o'clock. It's in the evenings, but Dr. Hamill and the doctors there are giving healthcare $35, which is really affordable, plus the actual cost of the labs. So if you go to the website, transhouston.com, www.transhouston.com, and follow the links, you will be able to get in contact with Dr. Hamill and the HACS clinic, Joseph Hines Clinic. We're going to go now to Veronica Klaus and her next song. I don't have the CD in front of me. Are you ready?
They stole it.
All right. this song is called Black Diamond Days. I was listening to this on my way to work, and it really just struck something in me. It's a really, really cool song. So check it out. Listen. If you want to call in, the number is 713-526-5738.
Never had a chance to be a little girl. Changed so fast. She's a woman in this world. She's just a visitor, a stranger in town. The same but different, still knows her way around. The old slag pile, the five and dime. People and places remain in her mind. But you can't go back to a church that burned down a lifetime ago. Dying corsets in a chili pot. Nobody noticed, but no one forgot. Not quite black, always shades of gray. Mother doesn't have anything to say, you see. Things like this don't happen where he comes from. No. Black Diamond Days, never thought I'd miss them. Black Diamond Days, in a rage I kissed them goodbye. Black Diamond Days, hard pressed to see her shine. Give a rat's ass if they don't understand. From that old hometown to a golden coast, you see, she's lived a larger life than most. You just can't force this jewel of a girl into a
right. We are back. That was Veronica Klaus, Black Diamond Days, and she's awesome. I really, really like that song. It's kind of a jazzy blues kind of number, and I'm going to have to hunt her down in San Francisco to see her live. She's awesome. We've been talking about the 2020 show with Barbara Walters, and we are basically moving on to our next segment, but we were talking about a show that's on Logo, and I actually looked it up on the internet. I'm looking at it now. It's called My Mums Used to Be Men, and it's showing September 24th, which is Monday at 12 p.m., and it's about Louise. She's a 12-year-old daughter of two transgender parents living in Great Britain, and she finds herself the subject of a media frenzy surrounding her parents' lifestyle. She decides to reach out to families that are constructed similarly to hers. And so that is going to be airing on Logo. The website is logoonline.com if you want to look it up. And you'll probably have to do a search. I had to do a search for it, but it gives you a brief summary of that. So check it out. It's a documentary, and it's dealing with us and our lifestyle and family lifestyles that deal with transgender folks. All right. So how are you doing, Evie?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good. Alex has left the building. He had to take off, and we were very thankful to have him stop by. We were all here, and he kind of lives out in the country. He described himself as a country boy, so I guess he's going back to the country now. And we've been deserted. It's just me and Evie.
It's just me and you.
Yeah. So, what I was going to talk about, and I'm sorry that Alex had to leave, but relationships. I think that's something that is interesting, and it's an interesting dynamic that transgender folks have to deal with. And we recently had a roundtable talking about dating and disclosure, and we participated at the Hack Center, and we had some folks that showed up, and we talked about that, and we brought up some interesting points. And basically we were trying to get a viewpoint of the whole community, and unfortunately we only had like 4 or 5 people that showed up, so we couldn't really get a big, like, diverse opinion of how it was that the community really dealt with dating and disclosure and relationships in general. But I know that relationships are tough when you're transgendered, and so we're going to talk about some of our experiences with relationships.
You mean like all kinds of relationships, like friendships, relationships with your family?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about like dating.
Intimate relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, about, I think it's important to talk about, you know, basically what we talked about was dating and then picking up people and then disclosure. And we found out that there was a lot of issues with rejection. You know, everybody was scared of being rejected, which I think a lot of transgender folks have to deal with. But also, it was easier to date because there wasn't a lot of commitment, and you didn't really have to worry about disclosing to those people. So once you got down to the nitty-gritty of disclosing your status or that you have a history, it got kind of hairy, and we found that we were more fearful of that because, you know, you have to deal with the fact that you may not be liked for who you are, you know, and the person you are. Hi, welcome back.
Well, I just have a cigarette.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, the topic is dating disclosure. Who would like to start?
I would just like to say that as far as my experience, I had several questions about like my first experience with a straight male who did not know about me as far as being transgendered, and he was in love with me. I was in love with him. I told him my truth or whatever, and he didn't reject me, but I could tell that I wouldn't fulfill him completely, and so I broke it off, and I think that was the best thing. But now I've noticed in my adult life that most of the guys that try to talk to me or whatever, and some women, they're very aggressive, and they always say, oh, I have a fantasy of being with transsexual. And my question to them lately has been, how am I supposed to be responsible for your curiosity? You know, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to serve you that way? Because that's not what I'm here for, is not to be your fantasy. So I think really it comes down to like a personal thing where you find someone that is not so much a soulmate, because you can find several of those, but those are the genuine times that you can like really appreciate a relationship. But other than that, I think it's you just have to kind of like not really search for it. It has to just come naturally.
It has to find you.
Yeah.
They always say, when you're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes, and when you stop looking, it shows up.
How about you, Evie? What are your feelings on dating and disclosure?
I guess this is my situation.
Tell us. What is your situation?
I was in a relationship for a really long time. From, like, back, like, in high school. Like, before transition. Like, well within, like, extreme anti-transition to through transition, and then, like, shortly thereafter. And so, currently, I don't date anybody. Because I don't really know how to date people. Like, I learned how to date as a guy, like, and then I have not at all learned how to date as a girl. So I just kind of avoid. And people will be like, hey, you're really pretty. And I'm like, okay.
Is that it?
I'm like, I don't know. I just don't know what to do. And, like, I don't know, like, exactly how to approach people, because, like, I have how to date as a guy in my head. Like, how to approach, you know, hey, or whatever. I don't remember exactly what I did, but...
How did you date as a guy?
I would do this. I would be attracted to a girl. Okay. And then I would just kind of, like, talk to her, and she would usually be in, like, a class of mine or something. And I would just, like, become friends with her over, like... 6 months, and then, like, after that, I would, like, approach her and, like, kind of just get really intimate with her, which is kind of, like, maybe weird, I guess, for a guy. I don't really know, but I just don't know how to do it exactly nowadays.
Most guys won't wait that long.
May I ask if any of you have gone to places, bars or clubs that cater to transgenders for dating?
Transgender dating?
I think that would be a great opportunity.
Are there those out there?
I know. I was thinking that too.
I know. I would like
Billy, transgender bar.
There have been in the past. And
but obviously, I prefer it wasn't the past. Okay.
Well, I mean, I know that I used to work in bars, and I was a professional female impersonator for 11 years, and obviously I'm a transsexual. So, you know, the guys, I would always call them panty sniffers or like tranny chasers or whatever, you know, you want to call it, but they would approach you and want to take you out and stuff, but usually they were only looking for sex. I mean, And I found that that wasn't really when I was younger.
They only wanted to go out with you because you were transgender.
Yeah, and it's that same thing Vishanti was talking about, the fetish or the fantasy.
Yes.
And I found that I really had to be leery of that because, you know, while it's good to get that, it's, I think, a trap that a lot of transgender folks get caught up in because, you know, you want to be loved, you want to be accepted, and sex is the easiest way for you to get, now this is for my therapist, but, you know, to get approval.
Oh, sure.
You know, yeah. Approval.
I'm thinking about the theory is for your therapist, not the act.
Right. Yeah. No, not sex with my therapist. But,
it's instant gratification.
You know, it's instant gratification. You know, that person is saying, oh, I like you and you're great. But the thing is, it didn't mean anything,
no.
And ultimately, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? That's my...
I need to step in real quick and let everyone know that you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
There we go.
All right. Thank you so much for reminding us of that.
We are legal now.
Yes.
That's why you withhold sex. You don't just give it out. You know,
that's why your nickname's Virgin.
Well, at this point, I'm re-virginized. I've learned and I've decided that that's not something that I'm going to allow people to use to, like.
Well, lust is a very powerful tool, and I think that,
Well, we're cute, too, you know.
Well,
you know, I mean, there's not a reason why guys wouldn't be attracted to us or girls wouldn't be attracted to us, but, you know, it's just, there's more to a relationship than sex, I think. And especially, I didn't realize how powerful testosterone was until I actually had my surgery, and that just natural instinct to think about sex and always have it on your mind, you know, I mean, that's really a major factor. Those hormones are really, really powerful.
Yes.
And I understand why guys are like that, and good Lord, you know, it's crazy, but at the same time, girls have to really be, and even the guys, I think the transgendered guys have to be careful with that, because being with people who put you up on a pedestal or fantasy fulfillment is just, it really doesn't go anywhere.
It's all about intention, your intentions, why you're pursuing.
But then again, no guy is going to ask you out unless he, any guy who wants to go out with you, whether it be short term or long term, is going to want to sleep with you. Or they wouldn't ask you out. Period.
Yeah.
So there's always the sexual tension.
Right.
Well, and it's funny, because even I have dated guys who didn't know about me. You know, they'd ask me on a date, no clue. You know, I lived stealth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And still, they would still be trying to get in my pants. And it was funny, because I have a rule when I was dating. I'm in a relationship right now. But when I was dating and stuff, I made a rule that I wasn't going to have any sex or anything for 3 months. And, you know, you tell a guy that, and they're just like, oh, I'm out of here. You know, but I think that that was a good rule for me to set down, because it weeded out those who were serious. In my relationship previously, it wasn't 3 months, but it was 2 months. And, you know, he was willing to wait. He cared about me, and he thought that I was a nice person, and he really cared about me. And so he stuck around, and he waited for that long.
I think that's a good rule for people, regardless of their gender identity.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's
I know a lot of gay boys who could get themselves out of a whole lot of trouble if they followed that rule.
Yeah, well, then there's that testosterone.
Yeah, there is that.
Evie, I wanted to ask you, do you date women or men?
I have dated only women.
Okay. So why do you think dating, approaching women should be any different now than before? It's a question.
Well, it just has to do kind of with, like, my role in dating.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I have a mixture of roles when dating right now. Like, I kind of can either, like, it's weird. I can play, like, this part, like a, kind of like a, the, like, the semi-butch girl.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know how to do that, kind of, but it's weird because, like, the way I behave is not really like that. And so I don't really know how to, like, be, like...
Be you?
Be, like, a girly girl or whatever I am and then approach a girl.
Do you think of yourself as a girly girl?
I guess I do.
Okay.
But, like, I don't exactly behave that way all the time, necessarily. So, I just don't really know how to, like, present that to a girl and be like, hey, do you like me? And, you know, because the response in my brain is to be like, hey, do you like me?
Well, I do have my butch moments.
Jimmy Butch.
I know it's hard to believe, but, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's necessary. I think you just really have to kind of become comfortable with that role.
Yeah.
And realize, because I don't think it's any different, you know. I mean, and I always was pursued in my past relationships. It's funny. In the relationship I'm in now, I pursued her. It's the first time I've ever really pursued anyone. So it's really, it is different. Just because I was pursuing someone,
mm-hmm.
and putting myself out there and possibly getting her with a possible rejection, but at the same time, I thought that she was a really nice girl and I tried to start something with her, and I don't think that was outside of the realm. So I don't know. It's interesting.
I guess
I didn't think it was different.
I kind of assume that a lot of women are straight.
Yeah.
So.
I think that I found most women tend to not really... You know, guys are just think about the here and now, what's in your pants, and, you know, physical things, whereas girls are more on an emotional level. And mm-hmm. especially with you, the way mm-hmm. that you get to know someone and become close to them, I would think that you would have success, you know, doing that and just getting to know people and becoming intimate with them.
Yeah.
I think it's getting over the hump of the fear of not just rejection, but of not offending the other person or mm-hmm. forcing your transgenderness on,
yeah.
you know, like a biological female or something like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want them to be like, oh, you like me because you're really a dude.
really
terrible,
dude.
Terrible.
Well, I mean, I think it's. You know, it's on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in relationships where guys didn't know, and, you know, sex was an issue, even though they were trying to make it. Obviously, I couldn't do that because they thought I was a girl, but I wasn't. You know? And then, well, I don't know. Maybe it's mostly with guys. I don't think it would be an issue with girls. It
probably wouldn't be.
Well, as a gay man, I look at it as every man I meet is available until I know otherwise. I just go on that assumption.
That's the slut theory, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although, I do like how Jimmy said that, you know. It's kind of interesting what Jimmy said.
Uh-huh.
That all guys are available or all girls are available until you know otherwise.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the big... The the slogan of the bisexuals is you fall in love with the person and work out the plumbing later.
I like that.
That's a good one.
I like that. Well, I'm bisexual, yeah. So that's probably why I like that. I look at the person, and I personally think it would be hypocritical for me to not look at the person and just look at physical characteristics, because I want that and want people to like me for who I am, not what's between my legs.
But so there has to be that chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has to be that little touch of lust for you to have any interest.
Well, yeah. And I think that there would. I mean, when people see you, they don't know what's between your legs. You know, I mean, that's not.
They make assumptions.
They make assumptions, yes. So, but that chemistry is either there or it's not there.
Right.
So.
Right.
You know, and I've known people who were attracted to me that I was definitely not attracted to. So I was like,
oh, honey. Oh, yeah, we've all had that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And. Especially when I was at the bars. All those crazy people.
Well, another thing is, like, I realized, like, dating, like, a lot of people are not just satisfied with just one thing. They have so many different appetites. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just about their sexual appetites, but it's also about their intellect. And there's like, some people have so many different, like, intellects that stimulate them that you can't really give that person all of those intellects from just you, because you're just one person. So they find it elsewhere. So without that understanding of being exclusive, it can really be a very wide open, heartbreaking situation if there's no understanding.
So. Well, the topic is dating and dating issues surrounding transgender folks and disclosure. And hopefully we're going to get to ways to disclose in an easy way, obviously. We don't always, by the way, the talk or telling that person that you have history. So let's say you're dating somebody and you want to tell them about your history and they don't know, obviously.
Jerry Springer.
Yeah, how do you do it?
How do you do it?
Not on the Jerry Springer, I hope, y'all.
Not on Jerry Springer. You know, yeah. Jerry Springer gets a bad rap, though, because I think that while he has made us look bad to some extent, he also has, you know, educated and let people know, brought it to people's attention so that they know that we're out there. And, you know, I really think that it's made people more open-minded.
Well, it's just that he's used the worst examples of us.
Well, yeah, but everybody knows
the worst audience.
Now.
Yeah.
Everybody knows he's fake. I mean, really. They get on national TV and show their boobs for a set of 5-cent beads. I mean, not that I'm beneath that, but I've often considered going just to get my fairy beads. I think that would be interesting.
Be like, I'm transgendered. You know.
So how have you disclosed in the past? How have you done it? And how's it worked out?
All right. How have you disclosed in the past? Well, typically I like to make sure that I'm in a public place. Because you really never know if that person truly knows or does not know. You know, you can be setting yourself up for a dangerous situation.
Oh, so yeah.
You have to make sure that you are prepared for any possibility. And
whatever weird reaction.
You know, I mean, I've had people, like, tell me they were going to kill me. You know, I mean, that's really that deep to some people. And other people are like, you know, it's no big deal. But you have to, I think, make sure, number one, that you're thinking about things thoroughly and think them through. you know, make sure you're in a public mm-hmm. place, make sure people know really what's going on and check in with them, let them know that you're going to talk to them, tell somebody.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, and
let somebody know that you're where you're going to be and, you know, what you're going to be doing, just in case.
And then follow up and check in with them and
yes.
let them know.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's just safety number one. And also, if you are disclosing that, let them know. Let people know what's going on, you know, and say, well, I told them, because you never know what kind of a situation you're getting yourself into. I mean, but typically, you know, it's turned out pretty good with me. That was when I was younger and I did a lot of crazy stuff, but, you know, I mean, what about you, Evie, Vishante? Disclosure?
I've only had disclosure once. The rest of them were, like, people that already knew and
mm-hmm.
Accepted it, but they were very secretive and quiet about it. So I was like, when we went on dates, it would be at nighttime. We would show up in the movies late and leave early. So that was something that was very uncomfortable, because then you realize they're uncomfortable. So it's best just to not be in a situation like that. But nowadays, I think I just disclose immediately. I think it's very important to not waste time and to be direct. That's my motto for the rest of this year and next year, is to be more direct about my personal life, especially when it comes to an intimate partner, because it's very hard to find mm-hmm. being transgendered. For me, because you know, I like men. I've dated women. I've dated transgendered. So I really don't have a set, you know, type. So that leaves the whole spectrum open for me. But I think it's important that you tell them, you know, upfront and personal is mm-hmm. key for me. You know, just being direct about it. Because
so just get it right out of the way.
Yeah, because then that way, you know, if it's not going to be a waste of time, you get to enjoy it. You know, and if it is a waste of time, you can move on and nobody's feelings are completely crushed forever.
When you did disclose, how did you disclose to that person? And how did it turn out?
Well, I was around some biological women who were very envious because I was dating a guy that didn't know. And so they kind of like pressured, you know, they like were giving hints to him. So I finally just took him into the bedroom alone and I told him, and his first response was not freaking out, but he was just like, oh my god, you know, and he kissed me and he left because he couldn't deal with it right at that moment.
Ooh.
But then he came back the next day and tried to disguise it with, like, you know, there was like, it was 4th of July, so he bought all these fireworks and was trying to, like, you know, get past the fact that I was, you know, whatever. But at the end of the day, he realized that, you know, biological woman is what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of heartbreaking. So that's why I just try to dodge all of the in-between stuff and just be direct.
Well, I think that that would definitely be time-saving.
And well, maybe, you know, a little...
It's very much like disclosing your HIV status, if you're HIV positive. You know, when do you do it? Do you do it when you would first meet somebody? Do you do it later on, or what? And there's arguments all the way around. Is if you disclose it immediately, then you never get to know this person.
Right. Yeah.
Because they may reject you outright,
right,
and you never get to know them. But if you wait too long, then they feel betrayed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've kept the secret, so...
And then it comes down to intention.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Interesting. Very interesting.
It is interesting.
I think that... I don't know. Disclosure is important. Personally, I like to go out and test drive, I guess.
Me too.
You know, see what if we have something in common. And
yeah,
obviously, if they have the chemistry there, I mean, I don't feel it's important to necessarily tell them right off the bat that I'm a transsexual, you know, because like Jimmy was saying, you know, you don't want to put them off or, you know, make them...
Before
you get to know them, and they get to know you.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
I mean,
some of us are so glamazon that it's so obvious that, you know, if, like for me, they automatically know, even though I am passable, I'm just so passable that there's something so striking and so perfect that it couldn't possibly be a real woman because no woman can look like that. And I don't know how many girls have heard that, but it's something that you hear a lot when you're a transgendered female.
Wow.
And, you know, it's...
So does that weigh in with your disclosure?
Yeah.
It does.
I think passing probably has a lot to do with it because there are some transgendered women who will never pass.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever reason.
And it only takes one person to clock you. You know? So.
Clocking, for those who do not know, is a term of finding out that you are not as you appear.
Right.
Like if you're speeding, you will get clocked.
So most basically, if you are a girl, presenting yourself as a girl and they figure out that you're were born male, or also if you're a guy and they find out that you were born female at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. We were in here. We had, I don't know if y'all heard the clicks. We had pictures being taken.
Yes.
All right. Do we have music?
We do have music.
We do have music.
It's probably about time to wrap up.
Wrap up. All right. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. We will be back next month. And hopefully, Melanie will be back with us. We definitely missed her.
Every fourth Saturday of the month.
This has been the Transgender Radio segment for KPFT. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, I
want to
say thank you to Hannah. Thank you for listening.
Wait a minute, this is not...
I'm here to win, lost driving with free. Chips, take six, every day with the air. I'm here for good, I'm here for keep. I play to win, lost driving with free.
Would you
and rescue me. Into sports, looks good in shorts, but you're just another game to him. I've seen his type, seen him all my life, always pulling for the side that's winning. You need someone who cares, so don't look over there. I can show you what you've been missing. Who treats you right? I do, baby. Who treats you right? I do, baby.
Division with Who Treats You Right. Before that was Joshua Clip and Rescue Me. It's time now for the round table.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Alright. Let's
see. Boobs.
put your shirt down, boy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Don't let me take mine out.
Well, if you want to.
Alright, we're not doing nude radio, you two.
Oh, I'm well, we didn't say ready. Anything about nude. We just said showing boobs.
Well, you know. I'll just let your hair down, why don't you?
I sure am. Yes,
she is. Alright.
Bringing it on out, huh?
On this day in history. Oh, boy, what you got? It's September 22nd, 1327.
Yeah,
the deposed King Edward II of England is murdered with a red hot poker shoved up his rectum.
Oh,
what a way to go. A gruesome punishment reserved strictly for homosexuals.
Virgin, watch out.
Edward's wife, Isabella, had the king's lover, Hugh Le Despenser Younger, executed the previous year.
She must have been pissed.
Yeah.
She must have been really, really upset, y'all.
Slightly.
Slightly.
Oh, yeah. And... September 22nd, 1975, in front of the St. Francis Hotel in San Francisco, Sarah Jane Moore pulls out a Smith & Wesson 38 and points it at Gerald Ford. Before she can assassinate the president, a bystander named Oliver Bill Sipple grabs Moore's arm.
We studied Sipple in comm law, mass comm law.
Sipple, a closeted gay man, is later outed by the press. The spotlight on his personal life causes him to complain, "My sexual orientation has nothing to do with saving the president's life."
Well, because Gerald Ford is not that hot. I'm sorry.
Well, no. When he was younger, he was. He was a model.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
It's all about Abraham.
Oh, Lincoln. I didn't know that.
Oh, didn't you see his grandkids at the funeral?
No.
You got to start hanging out at more Republican funerals.
Oh.
No, thanks.
Why do that when I can just watch it on TV?
I had some cute grandkids. I'm all about the, you know, part of being gay is, you know, the pomp and circumstance and ceremony. And that those things have those sorts of things.
Yes, of course.
All right.
I understand that Sipple sued, actually brought a libel suit against the newspapers for outing him. I don't remember that if he'd lost or won the case or not. It's been so long since I've studied it.
I think technically he would have to lose it because the paper says you're gay and you are gay.
Right. But he felt it was an invasion of his privacy.
Well, he could do defamation of character.
There you go.
Too.
I don't remember more how definition the case came of character. You know?
Well, but if it affected him negatively, then and they did it,
especially in 1975.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he saved Ford. God.
And he was a an ex-Marine too.
Ooh.
Yep. What else you got for us, Chris?
Well, apparently the hottest newest attraction in Minnesota is the men's bathroom at the airport.
Still in the news.
They are constantly, people are asking for directions to the infamous restroom.
Yeah, wow. There's Craigslist and there's Senator's Craigslist, but anyway.
I think that would, you know, make money, have a cardboard cut out of Senator Craig, and have him stand having it stand in front of the men's bathroom.
There you go.
$5 a shot, and finally, that's what the senator said.
No, honey, I think he's looking for a headshot, but anyway.
Provincetown.
Rhode Island.
Yes, old P-Town. Something about being on the wide-open sandy beaches of the Outer Cape, feeling the hot summer sun and the tickle of gentle sea breezes, can make people want to fling off their clothes and sometimes fling other people's clothes off.
Yay.
Whoops. But they risk getting more than just a sunburn if they're on the beaches and the national seashore. Nudist amorous couples and others who use the seashore as their pleasure ground this summer were shocked when they were served with $75 to $175 citations for burying their bodies and or engaging in sexual acts in public. It's not the tickets that bothered them so much. It was the manner in which they received them. A young park ranger, let's see, one person's across the line, as far as I'm concerned, Susie McGuire, a summer visitor, said she and a friend were walking up a road fully dressed when a young park ranger got out of his truck. He got out, walked to us as he walked, and said, "You just two hold it right there. I'm giving you a ticket for public nudity."
Okay.
He was ticketing them for being nude on a beach earlier in the afternoon. And yes, she had been sunbathing in the buff 3 hours in an isolated spot off the beach, but how the ranger see her? He was peeping from the dunes.
Oh,
you know, he enjoyed himself.
I see. So he had enough of seeing her naked and finally decided to ticket her after her clothes were on.
Yes. Another ranger was in plain clothes and appeared just to be another gay man ambling by, which is one of the reasons a man and his partner didn't stop having sex.
Ooh.
And they were given a $175 ticket for disorderly conduct. So apparently, if you're going to P-Town, be careful of the undercover park rangers wanting to catch Boo-Boo and Yogi.
Still Galveston, what are you talking about?
They didn't give them a warning or anything?
Of course not.
No, why should they?
Because you're naked, you know, you really can't, like,
you're naked in the throes of passion.
You can be a total, perfect adult and just walk up and be like, yeah, you know, you guys can't do that here.
Because I know there are certain new beaches across the country.
Yeah. I think that's the issue is it's not necessarily nude beaches.
It's a national seashore.
Like a national park.
But what about the children? Well, they can watch, I guess, but good Lord.
There was no kids
awkward.
Around.
Oh, so you were actually at that beach?
National seashore, my friend thought it was really funny. He didn't tell me what was going on. I was collecting the seashells, and this naked man walked up with his little happy friend standing
at attention.
And
sundial was at noon.
I was so embarrassed. I was trying to get this man to go away, and he would not leave me alone. I kept looking and picking up shells, and he was holding a conversation. So, oh, where are you from? What you doing? Yeah, and my friend was laughing his butt off.
Gives me meaning to phrase Free Willy.
I would too, but then eventually I'd be like, yeah, we're at a new beach.
But then I ran into the surf and took my bathing suit off, so.
Okay.
All
right. But then put it back on.
Okay.
Yeah, it was only for the experience.
And how long ago was this?
This was probably about 5 years ago.
Oh, okay. So were you before transition?
Oh, no, I've lived like as a girl since I was 15.
So. Oh, okay.
I was very much.
So your boobs and.
Oh, yeah.
Everything
all
was
good
just
stuff.
Oh. Okay. I guess he had a. Like, oh my god!
Well, he left eventually. Oh, okay. He realized I wasn't interested in him and he took. took his leave.
Him and when you shove the conch shell up his ass, it probably stirred, you know.
I don't think I want him blowing that conch shell, but anyway.
Next subject.
Coming up on MTV October 9th, A Shot at Love with Tila Tequila. Tila Tequila. Who is a internet star built off of MySpace. It's a different kind of dating show. The 10-episode series will feature contestants who want to win the heart of Miss Tequila, who has more friends than anyone else in the history of the online social network MySpace.com. Miss Tequila is bisexual, which means the contestants on the show will be 16 straight men and 16 lesbians.
Yeah.
Finalists will move into her mansion, live together, and each week Tila will narrow down her suitors. Every episode will culminate in a dramatic ceremony unlike anything you've ever seen before.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
A VJ? What?
I guess what they'll do is all be on computer monitors and she, you know... I'm sorry, you've been F4'd.
I'm deleting you from my friend's list.
Delete?
Tia Tequila. Why can't I say tequila? Take a shot. That's the problem I have.
One tequila, two tequila, three.
Made a name for herself by doing things her way, captivating legions of fans online, both men and women. Now she's taking that attitude and sex appeal to her own TV series where she's looking for a mate. A Shot at Love with Tia Tequila is on MTV, and like I said, starts on October the 9th.
That should be interesting.
And in the words from television...
I'm not going to watch that. I think it's stupid. Anyway.
A new tell-all book from Days of Old of lesbianic things of young women. Maureen McCormick... A.K.A. Marsha Brady.
Marsha.
Claims she did lesbianic things with Jan Brady.
Oh,
wow.
A.K.A. Eve Plum back in the day. Maureen details her sexual experiences with Eve in an all tell-all book, which doesn't hit stores till next year.
So, has Eve Plum replied to these allegations at all?
Not yet. Not according to this here. A source told the National Enquirer, the most explosive comments will be how the then-blonde, blue-eyed cutie developed a crush on Eve Plum, which led to some sexual play. This book will certainly come as a shocker. While Maureen is not a lesbian, she reveals there were some sexual hijinks going on behind the scenes.
Talk about keeping it in the family.
It's bizarre because she plays such a virginal character on the show. According to the blogger who wrote this, is anything sacred anymore? Next thing you're going to tell me is that Rosie the Robot and Jane Jetson ate each other's muffins.
Well, did you hear about Oscar De La Hoya?
In drag? There's a click on that coming up here. You know when Jan was getting off, she shouted, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha! I know, but someone had to go there.
Leave it up to Chris. Marcia.
No, that's in the blog. It's on the delisted.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, the title of the article was Alice Probably Watched.
And the ironic thing is, Alice played a trucker in one of the Brady movies.
I mean, played. let's see here. Desperate Housewives is bringing more homosexuals to the show.
Sweet. You mean besides the creator?
Access Hollywood has reported that a new couple is moving on to Wisteria Lane.
Oh, boy.
Gay pirates. Well, one looks like Aladdin. Looks must be a Halloween party. And one
okay,
dressed,
I'm sorry. I gotta go look.
One's dressed as a pirate. One's dressed as Aladdin.
Oh, my God.
No.
Is that
Putty from Seinfeld or someone else?
I don't know. Let's see. Actually, the New Day couple. Tuck Watkins and Kevin Rahm.
Not cute. Sorry. But anyway.
They were shooting a Halloween episode. Either that or flamboyant stereotypes on TVs have really run out of control. So now there'll be a couple there for little crazy boy to follow after.
Oh, God.
So, no.
I never watched it, so I don't really care. So, yeah.
Yeah, only episode I've seen was the one where the wife went crazy and shot everyone.
Well, Sean Pryform.
Was that her name?
Who plays gay enough. On that. Hillary Clinton talked to The Advocate. She came out as being heterosexual. New York Magazine is reporting on a forthcoming issue of The Advocate, where Senator Hillary Clinton was questioned on both long-standing rumors regarding her sexuality and whether or not her stance on civil unions is just more of a front for a more deep-seated, genuine belief that marriage should be offered to all U.S. citizens.
You know, I've said it before and I'll say it again. The problem with the Clintons' marriage is she liked roses on a piano and he liked tulips on an organ. And I'll just leave it at that.
Well, I think that, I forget if it was Dennis Miller or... I think it was Dennis Miller who said, you know, their marriage couldn't be more a marriage of a convenience if they installed a Slim Jim rack on the headboard. Clinton said of her lesbian rumors, "People say a lot of things about me, so I really don't pay attention to it. It's not true, but it's something I have no control over. People say what they want to say." And she said that she also has the presidential hopeful for position privately is for marriage equality, even though she hides behind one supporting civil unions. "I would tell you if it was, that is an issue I've had very few years of my life to think about. When you really look at it, when you compare it to a whole lifespan, I'm where I am right now, and it's a position that I came to authentically." In other words, she said nothing.
She'd make a great president.
Oh, yeah.
She would.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, look who her husband is, you know? Sorry. She'll learn from the best.
Yeah. I'm sorry, the fact that after Jennifer Flowers and Paula Jones, the fact that she let Bill have his nuts left, that he could still get off on Monica, I don't think she's got the tenacity on that. And she didn't realize he was getting blown by the chubby chick down the hall? Come on.
Maybe she just didn't want to do it and was...
She probably thinks, "Ew, I have to do. I have to put that where."
Ew.
Yeah.
Because there are some women who have that attitude.
I know several of them.
Here's a cutesy story. The West Virginia Mountaineers present a 530-pound dingleberry.
Oh my God.
Wow.
They have two football players. One is Johnny Dingle. Another one is Scooter Berry.
Oh my God!
And there's a picture of them sitting on the bench, and so the back of their jersey, one says jersey says Dingle, and the other one says Barry. So, together they form the world's largest dingleberry, weighing in at a whopping 535 pounds.
Oh my God!
And that's a real one, unlike the other one of Morneed Cock or something like that, some fake one came up from Arkansas.
Pretty clever.
Let's see.
I wonder if they didn't plan that, you know?
Well, they're at the same. They have consecutive numbers, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was something else I saw on here. Old people love the Wii. they show.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
You're getting into it.
Your great-grandmother there using a Nintendo Wii.
Well, better her using a Wii than weaning her. Depends. But anyway.
So when are we going to get to Oscar De La Hoya?
Okay, where's that picture? Let's see. Oscar De La Hoya drag photos. Are they authentic?
Hold on. I
haven't seen this yet.
There's like four or five pictures. I've seen them all. But I believe it is him.
It says here, if those of you with fishnet stocking and high heel fetishes may enjoy these very fake shots of Oscar de la Hoya that have suddenly cropped up around the net. However, this shot of the boxer in a pair of pink boxing gloves is definitely sexier and not photoshopped.
So what do you think, Chris?
I'm waiting for the...
Do you have any pictures?
It's taking me to another
website.
Yeah,
hold it up
here.
To the microphone. Let's look at it.
That's a good one. Hold up the microphone.
Okay.
So do you think it's Photoshop?
Okay, that's just weird.
Oh, it's his Tisby shot. That's photoshopped.
I don't think it is.
It looks photoshopped. Like someone kind of stood, you know, in fishnets and boxing gloves, and then put his head on the body.
But there are other photos though too.
Yeah, there's several others, but it's still.
I don't think he'd let anybody do something like that.
You would never know.
Something like that. That looks like something you see on Q Peeps or X Peeps, you know.
Well, he's in a fancy enough hotel, at least. Yeah. Well, that's a hotel suite.
I don't think they ever mentioned what hotel it was. But they say it was in New York, though.
I just gotta zoom in on those towels. There's a design on the towels. That's what I'm going by. So, yeah. I think that looks kind of fake. On that. Come on. Go back.
Because I heard about that about 2 or 3 days ago.
I had no clue.
Let's see. What else do we got here? San Antonio, Texas bar, Joe Blues, is no place for gay artists.
What?
An anti-gay art controversy has erupted in San Antonio, fueled by a MySpace campaign, intended to get the word out about the rejection of a gay photographer's work by a local bar owner. On the first Friday of every month, San Antonio bar Joe Blues hosts a guest-curated showing of a local artist. The San Antonio Express News reports that when he saw the photographs that were hanging for the show by Mark Ravello, which featured the photographer's boyfriend dressed up in Victorian garb and wearing makeup, he ordered them to be taken down. So really, he just said that they looked too much like drag queens, and he didn't want to attract that type of clientele to the establishment.
No. Oh, Lord.
Of course, right then and there, I felt offended.
I would say.
The owner denies being homophobic, he told the Express News. That's wrong. Flat wrong. A lot of my friends are gay. Sexual preference is not an issue with me.
No.
Right.
He's being homophobic. Hold on. Do you know the special word in there? He said preference.
Mm-hmm. My sexual preference is often, but that doesn't mean anything.
Because mm-hmm. Y'all don't get it that often.
I used to go to the First Friday things, and I actually would put up art on the First Friday stuff, and I have never gotten anything like that from anyone.
But was it gay-themed, or was it just...
I've seen gay-themed art on the First Fridays in San Antonio, and it's probably just that one guy. He's definitely homophobic, because there's all kinds of stuff that they have there at the First Friday. All kinds of art, even gay theme art, lesbian art.
Huh. He probably just don't like the guy.
Yeah.
It's possible.
That could be one reason.
Colorado got its first openly gay male state legislator.
Oh, cool.
I mean, now we just
congratulations,
need a president, y'all.
Yeah, but Virgin, who's going to vote for you?
Everybody over at Numbers.
Oh, I'll vote for you. No, at EJ's, honey.
George Michael has demanded that scenes featuring his interviews be removed from a new Stephen Fry documentary entitled HIV and Me, scheduled to be broadcast on the BBC in October. The BBC released a statement saying, George Michael isn't in the documentary because, on reflection, it was too personal of a journey for George to revisit. Michael's spokesman added that revisiting his ex-lover's death from AIDS would be too painful for the singer. On reflection, he felt it was too close and too personal a journey for George to take, and he asked that he be removed. Daily Mail speculates that Michael may have been unhappy over advanced publicity about the documentary's producer, who said last June Quote, George says he doesn't believe in HIV tests. He says he finds the wait for results too harrowing, and he hasn't had a test since at least 2004 due to his fears that it might be positive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Apparently, well, I guess the 20-minute test they don't have over in England because you have to run it over your teeth, and we all know about British dentistry.
Ouch.
And I don't know if there's anything else on here, really. It's getting too close to the end.
Here's your...
It's looking like 5 minutes. Come on.
Oh, my letter. Oh, I forgot my letter. I forgot my letter.
Yeah, we got a letter.
Which got...
Is it? Is it from my... what boyfriend is it from me?
This is from movie?
A new MBB?
Mm. A new MBB.
Well, welcome to the show.
What's MBB?
Men Behind Bars.
My new boyfriend. Okay.
This one is similar to me.
No, that's Men... never mind.
This is from Marvin.
We know you're bisexual. You got to pay for it.
Hush. He was listening to the show last week, and the segment between with me and Christopher... sharing concerns about big men, and was greatly touched with all that I shared. He was so touched that all he wanted to do was lash out at the idiots that have ever hurt me or done wrong because of my weight and size. And I do appreciate that. It's it goes into a lot of kind of personal stuff. Of, you know, last week I was a little hammered. And a little emotional, and the Black on Black segment, Christopher came in and was talking about body image and that, because he was chatting with somebody online who who's a large person and was talking about some of these issues, and it's like, well, hey, you stepped into my territory and did a lot of kvetching.
Yeah.
Catharsism, whatever terms you want to use.
Venting.
Maybe in some venting there. And I have to tell you, it helped me out a lot. And he's looking for a pen pal in the larger community. And so I'm not really good at writing letters, but I'm going to contact some of the people in my group and see if they'll be interested in contacting with you. And... we can do it. I mean, it was a very touching. I mean, I was tearing up while I was reading it, because it's very close and very, you know, it's something that sometimes I feel like I talk about it too much on the show.
No, you don't. I used to be offended by people who were like, "Oh, well, you're too fat" or whatever, and I finally got to the point where, you know what? It's not my loss, it's your loss, because you chose not to spend the time to get me to know me better before passing judgment on me.
Oh, yeah, I got to agree with Jose on that one.
I was talking with a friend who, so there's one person that, wants to hook up with him, you know, meet up and all this other stuff, and he's like, no. Because when I weighed twice as much as I do now, you didn't look at me.
Yeah.
You basically spit on me.
Yeah.
And just because you like the package now, screw you.
There you go.
Yep.
So, I mean, like I said, I mean, this is... There's a lot of times, like I said, you know, I walk out of here and I feel like, you know, I've been an egomaniac, the show.
It's hard to do this, a weekly show, and not put a lot of yourself into it.
Right.
Because there have been lots of times where I feel that I've talked too much about my HIV status.
Yeah.
You know, or talked about my personal life a little too much.
And, you know, part of it also... when we get done with it and we think back of it, I look at it this way, that when we come on here and we talk about the fact that we're here for those who are listening, and we can all tell everybody, you know, what it was like when we were in the closet. And we should tell them what it was like, the coming out experience, because we all have different things. Our families, our friends all reacted differently. And let everyone out there know who's still in the closet and still uncertain that it's not all peaches and cream. And it's all not fire and brimstone.
The hardest part of coming out is not coming out to your friends or your family. It's coming out to yourself and accepting the fact that you are gay.
Yes.
And that was the hardest thing for me to go through. Because I had been brainwashed into thinking, I'm straight, I'm supposed to get married and have kids. And I realized that eventually, you know, I had to let go of that. That, you know, I had to come out to myself, you know, and the next step is to come out to family, and that's going to be tough, you know, although I think they understand, you know, and they could probably tell me, well, we knew all along, but at the same time, I know I'm going to have to tell them, you know,
and, well, and it's
no
not
reaction, you know, like,
yeah. And there's other aspects to our community that's more than just coming out as gay, you know. Jimmy living with HIV AIDS for 20 years?
More than.
20?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and finding the acceptance in the community, what you find in the transgender. And
that was another coming out, you know, talking about being HIV positive.
And that's one of the things that this show is about, is the fact that there's somebody out there who's listening who's in the closet. There's somebody out there who's listening who's in the closet and is overweight. There's someone out there who may be positive and don't know how to tell anybody. And being able to hear somebody on the radio say, I'm fat and a fag. Love it or get the hell out of my way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Help someone. Someone being able to stand up and say, I'm HIV positive. Don't care what you think.
Or I'm next in the FN line, bisexual, etc. Yeah.
Or I'm a big old bear, you know.
And that's what this that's what this show is about.
And it's very apropos we're talking about this because October 11th is National Coming Out Day.
Yay. Oh my God, my birthday's coming up.
And so that means
No. My gay birthday is coming up. I came out to my family. Actually, on National Coming Out Day.
And National Coming Out doesn't mean you go into the middle of Main Street and shout it out. It means
queer,
you know, there's different levels of coming out. Maybe it's coming out to yourself on October 11th. Maybe it's coming out to your best friend.
You'll find me at the Four Corners in Tomball, Texas, at high noon under the flagpole, wearing only a rainbow flag.
How far is that from the courthouse and the hanging tree?
For people like me, I have to go to a mall and accost perfect strangers and say, hey, I'm gay, you know, because everybody I know knows.
Honey, you just got to talk and I say that.
Well, that's true.
It's coming to the end of the show here. Coming up at the top of the hour is Laura Palooza.
And she is in the house ready to bring you some of the best music you're ever going to hear on this radio
show. You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can touch with us here at the studio, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006, or after hours at kpft.org. Until next week, should I do one or two? I just got to do one of them. I'm going to do one of them, number one or number two. Do we do party or cure?
Two.
Cure.
Participants come from all over the country to honor those who have succumbed to the disease and bring celebratory recognition to the survivors attending the event. The Komen Houston Race for the Cure raises money each year to fund national research through the Susan G. Komen for the Cure Award and Research Grant Program, innovative breast cancer education, and screening and treatment projects for the medically underserved in seven county service areas surrounding Houston. To date, the Komen Houston affiliate has funded projects totaling over $12 million in the greater Houston area. This year's Race for the Cure will be held on Saturday, October 6th at the same Houston Park, 1000 Bagby Street.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.